So I kind of missed you guys over the last couple of weeks. Why do you laugh? I was sort of serious. But it was, you know, it was a good break. We went out to the Black Hills and visited a couple churches over that period. And you know, you pick up a lot of ideas and make a lot of plans for the future. And then you get back and you realize, well, that was a waste of time. But I'm grateful for the, you know, I have the opportunity to take that break like that. And I'm grateful that no one changed the locks or moved someone else into my office or anything like that. Everybody know what an obstacle course is? That's pretty simple, right? Nate's favorite show on TV is American Ninja Warrior. It's all about obstacle courses. And if you know Nate, you understand why. I wish I had three obstacle courses like that to run the energy out of him. But when you think about it, when someone designs an obstacle course, they're trying to make things so challenging that you'll eventually just give up and you'll want to throw in the towel. And if you've been a Christian for any length of time, you know that at times the Christian life can feel like an obstacle course. Jesus said, "Broad is the road that leads to destruction, but narrow is the path that leads to eternal life." And staying on that course and navigating on that narrow path can be pretty difficult sometimes. So today we're going to look at a parable about the sower and seeds in Mark chapter 4. It's the first one that's recorded for us in Mark, and that gospel is basically a chronological story of the life of Christ. Yet that's not really why it's so significant and important. It's significant because of something that Jesus says. It's actually something he says after that parable. Look at verse 13 of Mark chapter 4. Jesus says, "If you can't understand the meaning of this parable, how will you understand all the other parables?" The Message paraphrases this and says, he continued, "Do you see how this story works? All my stories work this way." So the master teacher is establishing a pattern. This is going to be how he does a lot of his teaching. The majority of his teaching in the Bible is parables. And it's just a style of storytelling and where he's trying to capture their attention, because he knows that some of these principles in this parable will be foundational building blocks to understanding the kingdom of heaven. So Jesus is saying, essentially, listen up. This is going to be on the final exam. If you've ever been in a college or a classroom, some professors will flash the lights or stomp their feet or knock on the desk. This is going to be on the final exam. This is going to be on the test. So learn it, memorize it. But it's as if Jesus is saying all the obstacles will always be an obstacle until you understand what Jesus is saying right here. Unless you get what I'm saying, you're never going to move forward. But when you look at Luke, you need to understand the setting. Jesus is teaching out on the Sea of Galilee in a boat. And he's probably in a cove near Capernaum where thousands of people would be gathered. And it basically forms a natural amphitheater. And the acoustics would have been perfect. So he begins teaching out of Mark 4, verse 3. "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, and some 100 times." Now my favorite part comes after he tells that, because it reveals that the disciples were ordinary people just like you and I. They've just heard this powerful descriptive story. They're living in a farming culture to where they would understand sowing and seeds. They saw this all the time. This was life for them. But remember, the disciples are just like us. They're hearing this for the first time. So they're trying to process it. Verse 10, it says, "When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables." And you have to love this, because essentially this is saying they were just as clueless as we are. Have you ever read some teaching in the Bible or been at church in a Bible study and you walk away from it and you're like, I don't know what he was talking about. Some of you will do that today. Everybody's sitting around, you're sitting there and everybody's nodding their head listening, and you're not nodding your head and you're going, I'm not getting it. But this is what the disciples were doing. Jesus tells the story of the sower and the seeds, and the disciples pull him aside and ask for an explanation. Jesus wanted to make certain that they get this, because he knows how significant this is in all of his parables. He says, if you don't get this one, you're going to have difficulty understanding the Bible, the double meanings and the hidden messages that are in all my stories. So like a good teacher, he begins to walk them through the parable. Verse 14, he says, okay, the farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop. Some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown. So he makes this perfectly clear to them. The seed that he's talking about, the sower is sowing the word of God. He's evangelizing. He's sharing the gospel with them. Jesus says that the seed, the word of God, the message of Christ, sometimes gets sown in rocky soil. Sometimes it's among thorns. Sometimes it's in a setting where it's on the path and it gets snatched up. But some seed falls on good soil. And when that happens, the harvest is always uncontainable. Something very significant can happen when we plant and pour the word into our hearts and into the lives of others, when we share the good news of Jesus Christ. You see, more important than your personality, more important than your creative tactics of discussing spiritual matters, more important than all those things is the power of the words that are contained in this book. The Spirit-filled words on the pages of the Bible are potent. The Bible says they are sharper than any double-edged sword. They hold the secret to the kingdom of God. They contain the pathway to eternal life. This is a powerful book. With life-changing words, empowered by the Spirit of God himself, so that when we sow the seed, it has the potential to do something incredible. Peter says in 1 Peter 1, verses 23 through 25, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fail, but the word of the Lord endures forever. It's powerful. Did you notice in the story that Jesus tells that the seed is not only sown in places that you would expect it to be sown, but everywhere else? He just didn't go to where there was good soil and say, okay, well, this is the place where it's going to be most likely to grow, so I'm going to put it there. For you farmers, Jesus isn't planting cornrows. That's not what the sower does in this story. This farmer throws the seed everywhere. He throws it all over the place. Jesus is trying to convey this seed is available for everyone. It's not restricted. It does not discriminate based on outward appearance or ability or nationality, ethnicity, gender, or anything else. The seed is thrown everywhere. We're all welcome to come on this journey. It's not a question of whether or not the seed is available. The question is whether or not the soil is receptive. Because the godly farmer in this story is going to make certain that it's available to everyone. Now, that's a lot of background, okay? And that's the whole story. But I just want to make two applications or lessons that we can draw from this. Lesson number one is the soil is God's responsibility. God is the one who knows it. Just like when we plant something in our garden, we can think we have some idea of what's going to transpire. But God sees beneath the surface. God knows the condition of that heart that you're working on. As Christians, sometimes we think that we're really good at knowing when a person is close to making a decision. We think that we've got this all figured out. And people say, well, I can tell when something's going on in the soil. I can tell what's going on in their heart. People say to me, just talk to this person. When you're preaching, I had a woman in Stratford at church say, when you're preaching this message, just look directly at him. He's ready. So I looked at him for like 10 seconds. He got up and he left. And she was still mad at me. 9 times out of 10, it's not harvest time. The person just wants them to accept Christ, though. And so they want it so badly for their friend that they just have to try. It's like they're trying to will them to accept it. And I understand that. I really do. I'm guilty of it just as much as anybody else. We may think we know when a person is ready, and you may be right or you may be wrong. That's why sometimes when we don't think it's going to happen, it happens. A person comes forward and gives their life to Christ, and you just can't believe it. And you're like, really? I had no idea. Because in our infinite minds, we think we got it figured out. Only God knows the soil. Sometimes when a person makes that decision, the person is saying, did you really see him walk forward? Did you really see him say that? Countless people in church have told me of the spiritual decisions or commitments that have been made by a neighbor or a friend or coworker, and the person who planted the seed had no earthly idea what they were doing. It just happened. And they say, you know, I had no idea. I didn't think they were listening. I feel that way a lot. Did you get that one? You see, the soil is a description of the heart and a person's spiritual openness. And that's God's responsibility. It's not yours, and it's not mine. Because God can touch hearts according to his timetable any way he wants. Sometimes you think you know where a person is coming from and what's happening beneath the surface, but you're unaware of what they're really thinking, what they're really dealing with in life. And with our limited knowledge, we can't really know exactly where things stand. We can't really influence the soil or know what's going on beneath that surface. But Christ changes soil. He changes hearts. I can't. As a Christian, I can. As a pastor, I can't. I can try to help make that person more receptive. You can pray. But the truth is, God's the only one that changes hearts. He's the one who tills the soil. So the first lesson is, the soil is God's responsibility. The second lesson is, sowing is ours. That's our job. You see, when you accept the truth that is in this seed and you realize that eternity hangs in the balance, and there is this sense of urgency in your life. The farmer represents every Christian, you and me. A farmer wouldn't be much of a farmer if he never planted anything. I mean, he could hang out at the Ginger Snaps or the Casey's and drink coffee until about 9 o'clock in the morning. But if he never plants anything, regardless of what he calls himself or regardless of how big of his truck is, he's not really a farmer. Our job is this. It's to scatter the seed. It's to look outward. It's to extend outward so that some of these seeds will take root and produce fruit. The word that's translated in the Greek for sowing means to extend your hand. If you're sitting with somebody and you extend your hand, it's like you're reaching out to develop a relationship with them. That's how all this stuff takes place. The sign of a healthy church is one that has members who reproduce themselves. So if you want to be convicted, sit and stew on that one for a while. In Matthew 28:18-20, Jesus is about to ascend into heaven, and he says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Surely I am with you always, even to the end of the age. You can summarize that paragraph that Jesus says by simply saying, go, teach, and teach some more. The teaching doesn't stop prior to the person making a decision. It doesn't stop with the person making that decision. The teaching continues on and on. The goal is, if you think of it this way, it's not a person getting saved. That's not the goal. The real goal is, it's a person being who's saved, going back and helping to save someone else. because our goal is to make disciples who make more disciples. Only God does soil work. We're supposed to do the seed work. You see, this parable of the sower and the seed is a story about whether or not you join the kingdom of God. Three out of the four soils are not receptive to the word. The result, there's absolutely no crop. There's no plant, there's no fruit. And the Gospels are clear. In several places, the plant that produces no fruit is useless and is destined for destruction. This parable of the sower of the seeds appears in three of the four Gospels. It's in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. God makes certain that from three different vantage points, it's laid out for us so that we can understand this. Matthew's Gospel actually shares the most amplified and full version of what Jesus taught on that same day. You see, after he tells the story and explains the story to his disciples about the seed and the sower, so that they understand these foundational principles, Jesus then follows it up with another related story that deals with the seeds. He follows it right on the heels of it, so he's going to build on that foundation that he's already laid. In Matthew 13, verses 24 through 30, he gives the next parable. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you are pulling the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, 'First collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned, then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn.'" Now you say, okay, what does that mean? You see, the master's servants are worried about the weeds. The master's focused on the wheat. There's a difference, and we make the same mistake. We focus on all the obstacles that keep people from Jesus. Oh, they would never come to Christ. Do you see how he lives? Do you know what kind of family he came from? And we don't focus on the crop. The truth is, I've been in and out and around the church all my life, and I've seen plenty, and you have seen plenty of Christians who randomly spew forth their judgments and labels as if they know more about people than the one who created them. We can be really quick to take a label and scribble something on it and attach it to someone. And then we share with our friends this label that we put on them. Usually it's the first label, it's who they were. It is hardly ever who they might become if they gave their life to Christ. Sometimes we look at people and say, "It's not worth wasting my breath. They would never darken the doorway at a church. They would never come." Listen, if you are even close to having that opinion, I guarantee you, you're being prophetic, because they're not going to darken the doorway of any church you're a member of. Sometimes as Christians, we're so quick to identify the weeds and make our false assumptions based on a person's appearance or on hearsay, maybe on gossip or jealousy. I wonder if there's anyone that you've ever written off and failed to plant a seed and failed to share the gospel with because you thought it was useless. I mean, you look at them and you're like, they're irredeemable. They're so far away from Christ, there is no way. But I'm glad somebody didn't write you off. I'm glad that some parent, some coach, a teacher, some coworker, someone planted a seed rather than fixate on the weeds in your life. If you're looking around thinking you don't have any weeds in your life, nobody's walking around with a can of Roundup, okay? So they're there, you're just blind. We have to keep planting seeds. At the final harvest, on the day of judgment, the difference will be obvious to Jesus. He'll separate the weeds from the wheat, and we can get pretty good at identifying weeds and labeling others, but we can be downright pitiful when it comes to planting seeds. And there's something terribly wrong with that picture. In fact, it's so far from the purpose of Christ's parable on sowing seeds, so opposite that we run the risk of steering a whole culture in the direction of hell when we forsake this teaching. Only the Creator, the sculptor, the perfect farmer knows what lies beneath the surface, what truly lies in somebody's heart. It's His responsibility to draw that out. It's our responsibility to allow Him to soften the heart and till the soil. He just wants you to give Him a chance. He just wants you to have the courage and love to say a good word on behalf of Jesus Christ. Because it's not up to you. God's the one that will give the increase in the crop. You just have to be faithful and give him a seed, give the person a seed instead of a label. It takes all of us in this whole play. And we have no idea how a seed that someone plants years and years later might come to fruition because of all the different people that have planted seeds in that person's life. Last year I was at a yearly meeting and I was sitting with somebody and they pointed to somebody and they said, that person is the reason I'm a Christian. Because I went to camp when I was in high school and he led me to Christ. And I started thinking, and I couldn't identify that one person in my life who was responsible for my conversion. And when I started thinking about it, I ended up with scores of people who were really responsible. Because it was a bunch of different people at different points in my life, leading, pushing, caring, moving me in the right direction. That's what the Apostle Paul meant when he said, I planted the seed and Apollos watered it, but God gave the increase. When I sat there and I was trying to name all these different people, you know what you end up looking at? You end up looking at the church. The Bible calls that the church, the faithful, the seed planters, the obedient. These are people who stepped out of their comfort zone, and instead of focusing on the obstacles that I was lugging around that would keep a person like me from Christ, instead they just decided to plant some seeds. So stop worrying about pulling weeds. Stop evaluating the soil. Extend your hands, scatter the seed, because you will never reap a harvest if you never plant a seed. The Bible says the grass withers, the flowers fail, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Would you pray with me? Father, we read this parable, we listen to this, and we probably are all guilty of or have people in our lives that we've kind of written off, people that we thought, I just don't think they would be open. And yet we don't know their hearts, we don't know what the soil's like. And maybe some of them are saying, just try me. So Lord, we're just asking that you give us the courage and the love to share with others your good news and to plant some seeds on your behalf. And we just trust you to do the tilling and the soil, and you'll bring the increase in the harvest. It's all in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.